Remarks of the President, New Rochelle, New York, 18
October, 1952. Thank you very much. Appreciate that very, very much. Thank you for this. Welcome back into the great city of New York. The mayor tells me that he has been the Democratic mayor of this Republican city for 13 years. I congratulate him. Now they tell me that Westchester County is about the richest county in the world, and I think it is. It looks like that to me anyway. And I don't know how you could believe those Republican scare stories that our country's gone to the dogs. I'm just as sure as I'm standing here that you can't believe them. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of the fact or not, but I'm not running for office. I've had everything that a man can expect from the great Democratic Party. And I'm campaigning now, just as if I were running for office, to show that I'm grateful for what the Democratic Party has done for me. I'm also doing that because I think this is one of the most important elections, if not the most important election, since the Civil War. In fact, I'm saying to you that I'm much more interested in a victory this time, if it's possible, than I was in 1948, and I was pretty anxious for a victory then. The Democratic nominee for president is the finest new leader to come forward since New York State produced Franklin Roosevelt back in 1932. He's made a great record as governor of Illinois, just as Franklin Roosevelt made a great record as governor of New York. Governor Stevenson is a man of principle. He lets you know where he stands on the issues, and he doesn't run around the country taking one position in New York and another position in New Orleans. My friends, I want to bring it home to you, if I may, that the most powerful office in the world, most powerful office in the history of the world, is the presidential office of the United States of America. The man who holds that job must make many grave decisions which may determine whether or not we shall live in a peaceful world. The making of these decisions calls for courage and a deep understanding of the great issues of our time. It's necessary for a man in the position of President of the United States to understand completely world affairs all the way around the world, because we have become, whether we like it or not, the most powerful nation in the history of the world. And with that power goes responsibility. And responsibility requires that the man who has to make the decisions in the presidential office must know the whole picture. He not only must know his own country, from Maine to California and from the state of Washington to Florida, he must also know what constitutes freedom for the free nations of the world and how to maintain it. And I'm asking you to inform yourselves on these subjects. They are most important. I am very fond, and always have been, of the Republican candidate for president. I made him chief of staff. I appointed him to command the free nations' rehabilitation of their military affairs in Europe. He's been my military advisor since I became one of my military advisors and one in whom I had the utmost confidence since I became President of the United States. He has been a part of the foreign policy which we have been carrying on in an effort to maintain peace in the world and to prevent the communists from controlling the world. He knows the facts in connection with what's taken place. He understands thoroughly and completely why the policies have been pursued, because he has been a part of them. And I had every confidence that he would stick by that situation until he had his interview with Taft here in New York. He was on the side of the forward-looking people who want to maintain peace in the world. After he talked to Taft, he changed his position. And I never had anything in the world to make me as sad as that, as what he did. I thought he would be pressure-proof. But I found, after studying history and after this experience I've had, that generals are not pressure-proof in politics. They have had no experience in what to do in politics. Now, after the Republican convention, Ike said that he was going to start on a great crusade. And I wondered what that crusade would be. And I waited and I waited. But Ike, as is usual with a general in command of the troops, was waiting for higher authority to tell him what to do. And after Taft and the old guard Republicans had told him what he ought to do, he started out on a crusade. And that crusade pointed one way in New York State. It pointed another way in Missouri. It pointed another way in New Orleans. It pointed another way in the Northwest. And I still don't know what Ike's crusading for. The facts in the case are that there never was a time in the history of the world when a country, a republic such as ours, has been in the condition of prosperity that it's in now. There are more people in jobs than ever before in the history of the world. We have 62 million jobs in this country, and the Republicans have always been advocating the theme of the Soviet Union, that we'd go to pieces after the end of the Second World War. We didn't. We improved our condition after the end of the Second World War, and that condition has been improving ever since. What I'm anxious to get over to you is an effort on your part to use your brains in this campaign. I want you to inform yourselves. I want you to find out what the facts are. The only reason I came out in this campaign, as I told you to begin with, is because I'm grateful for what the Democratic Party has done for me, and I also wanted to set the people to thinking. I want them to think about their responsibility. The people in this country are the government. They exercise the power of government when they go to the polls on election day. And unless you inform yourselves on exactly what the issues are and what the position of the two parties may be, you can't vote intelligently. I'm asking you to study the record of the Republicans in Congress. That's the record on which they have to run. I'm asking you to study the record of the Democrats in the Congress. And that's the record on which we have to run. And if you do that and inform yourselves as you should, you'll find that the welfare of this country and the future position, our future position in the world, is necessarily in the hands of the Democratic Party for the next 4 years. All I'm asking you to do, all I'm asking you to do is not to listen to sentimental reasons. Don't vote for somebody because he's worn a brass hat. Don't vote for somebody because he's been a governor. Vote for somebody who has the principle to stand on the democratic platform which concretely states what this country needs. There's no equivocation in that platform. It's right on all the issues, and it states all the issues plainly. Now, the Republican platform, as I've said before, is about the lousiest platform I've read since I've been in politics. It tries to mean all things to all people. You can't do that. You've got to take a stand on what you think is right. And if it is right, you can go out and sell it to the people and they'll be with you. Now, what I'm trying to do is to tell you that your interests are at stake. You'll use good judgment and use your brains. You can't do anything else but send John Cashmore to the Senate, elect this young lady here to the Congress, and put Adlai Stevenson in the White House, and we'll be on safe ground for another 4 years.